Tinfoil Hat.
Check us out on all of our social media platforms. On Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast. Reddit.com/r/TinfoilHatShow.
On Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod.
Or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil Hat.
I'm not hot and heavy, I'm heavy and hot.
Welcome back to another episode of
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Come with me into the waters of conspiracy with Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Tripoli's a bit crazy, but he's a really good guy.
With my friend Ryan Davis.
Hi, Ryan.
We're like the first gay couple of conspiracy theories.
I think it's beautiful, man.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
It's some mystical, deep, dark realm, crazy shit.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Did you just add that laugh in? Is that the laugh that Alexa does out of nowhere? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Where Alexa will just, you'll just be chilling like people have been sleeping. All of a sudden, Alexa would just do this like evil laugh out of nowhere.
That some programmer snuck that in.
Yeah.
I don't have Alexa.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend got it for us, and I immediately gave it to this one we have come over and clean. I'm like, here, have Merry Christmas.
Okay. Oh, you want the AI in your house fucking picking up on what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's listening to you. I mean, it really is. And everything is listening. I mean, they got so much dirt on me. It doesn't even matter at this point. That's really why I just talk about it on stage, like all my skeletons.
Right.
I just fucking,
to hide.
There it is. Oh yeah. I smoke crack with this guy. He tried to suck my dick. So I punched him, you know, like that's how I'm ending my special. Guys, thanks for tuning in real quick. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by Spotify. Did you guys know Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli is now available on Spotify? Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile devices, desktop apps, or smart speaker. Open the app on the mobile or the desktop and click browse the browse channel, and then click on the podcast section. Take us with you wherever you want. Go thanks to Spotify. That's right. That was our first sponsor for Tinfoil Hat.
Yeah, Spotify.
Thank you, Spotify. Look at the professional read I did.
Yep.
You got to keep it clean.
Ah.
That's the rule. I don't have a lot of rules on my podcast,
right.
But the one is keep it clean.
It is funny how sponsors can be. I've only had to redo one so far, but it was one of the first ones. But my sense of humor, it's like a lot of times some sponsors, I shouldn't say all of them, some of them don't listen to the whole show. They just hear your read pulled out of context.
Right.
And so they had no idea. It was like, it's just Audible that was for me. And I made some joke about if you don't like what they send you, there's a new button on the app that you can push and it will send not enough current to kill their CEO, but enough to let him know to fucking pay attention. And, you know, it, like this. And they came back. They were like, no.
You can't put out hits on our CEO. joining us in studio, he's on the awesome podcast, Time Suck. He's on it. It's his podcast.
Thanks.
The awesome podcast, Time Suck. Please welcome Dan Cummins.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys.
Hail Nimrod.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Dude, he's a geek. I can always tell when he's excited about the guests because he micromanages the setup to the show. Like he's like, okay, this. He gets very excited.
I love how into it. But that's how Ryan's in just like me and like you. It's like we get passionate about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I get excited. It's like I just saw this little Aleister Crowley stuff. I'm like, oh, I was just talking about Aleister Crowley.
It's so interesting, dude. All the stuff. Now we were talking about you recorded to CDs, our CDs.
Oh, yeah.
CDs. Two different hours?
Two 45-minute sets.
Oh, that's great.
And one of them is just a Pandora thing right now. It's been really cool. They've been really good to me. And they've just been, you know, putting all the stations and giving me more kind of advertising for it in exchange for having it only be on Pandora.
Right.
And people can listen to it as an album on Pandora now. And then after like 60 more days, it'll be everywhere. And then the other one I did, that one's called Maybe I'm the Problem. And then I did one called Feel the Heat. Which is a reference to me burning my dick in a heater as a child, actually.
But hey, dude, we all stick our dick in something at some point. That's what I've learned. I had sex with my couch.
Jacuzzi.
Yeah. Couch. Yep. Yeah. I get the couch. Yeah. And that one is a jacuzzi. Yeah.
Neighbor's jacuzzi.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
And that one is a secret, you know, quote unquote album that's only for the premium Time Suckers now. So it's like a little gift when they sign up, you know, they get that first. And that's been fun for me to have like a little secret thing.
We love our our Patreon fans.
Yeah, they're the best, man.
They really are.
Lifesavers.
You know, we want to know what you guys want more on that podcast, but we're very thankful that Spotify had us on, and I love that they're doing apps. I love that now you can get... I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like now you got Spotify, you got all these wonderful places to listen to apps. It's like, you know, like rankings of a podcast now is kind of like, well, that doesn't really do all the numbers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah, there's so many places.
There's so many. Like there needs to be one place that counts all the numbers.
Right.
And then puts them, because like we get a lot of numbers on our YouTube too.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, that doesn't, we, I mean, our YouTube numbers are starting to almost rival what we do on some of the, you know, our feeds.
That's so great. Yeah.
It is great.
Yeah, so you guys had the full video. That's so nice. Yeah, I mean, man. That's so nice.
We've been with All Things Comedy for a long time. We went from like a little closet in the, you know, on Melrose to this high end thing. And it's a gorgeous, great.
Oh, it is.
And then they have all the different shots. And I know that sometimes we can't see Ryan because he's behind me, but you know.
Oh, that's a good shot of Ryan.
Boom, look
at that. That's a good angle.
It's all good.
Look at that.
We don't need to see me.
This is a show of guys with great hair today.
Yeah, I was thinking about your guys' hair. You guys got strong hairlines, man.
Thank you.
I always had the widow's peak, but you guys is just fucking flat.
Bam.
Ryan has, you have so much hair and almost no gray.
It's got some
wave to it.
Coming in the beard here, I'm stoked. I'm getting the Louis C.K. where
the
you
beard definitely goes, the beard definitely. Oh, yeah, is the first to go gray. I mean, mine's, I got chunks right there, you know? And everyone's like, dye. I'm like, that's not me, dude.
Me either.
I don't care.
It always reads a little insecure when people do. And generally, I found, I mean, it's like my wife and stuff, but women, they don't care at all.
Yeah.
They love it, actually. Yeah. You know, a lot of, they love like the gray in there.
They love anything that makes you less fuckable. That's what I've learned. That's what they like. Once they're locked in, it's like more gray, more fat.
Yeah.
More all that stuff.
I'm the fattest. I mean, I've been so sitting down so much, but I'm the fattest I've ever been. But my wife is just like, no, yeah, whatever.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure she, part of her just like, yeah, just a couple more, couple
but
more
bites. I like that I'm not in a place where I have to worry about my looks. I just don't want to ever be that one. I mean, I'm really just fine with just doing this podcast, my other podcasts, and, you know, doing whatever tours I can. I have zero desire to like be like 45 and like watching what I'm eating and like, you know, thinking I should get Botox or some shit like that. It's like,
I just want to be healthy.
Yeah.
I want to be relatively healthy, but I love that we can do this kind of stuff now where it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was very close to here, when I was at Playboy, I had this director who would constantly give me shit about sucking your gut and all this kind of stuff.
For the,
for their looks. And now I'm like, not that I want to just let myself go, but I love that, like, no one's telling me shit.
Yeah.
No one's writing in the fucking podcast, but like, hey, man, I'd love to listen, but the gut, it really fucks with my enjoyment of your show.
Yeah.
That means our next sponsor is going to be like Spanx for Men.
Dude, we'll sponsor anything on this. I would sponsor cigarettes if it was legal for them to sponsor.
Philip Morris.
I would do liquor, whatever, man.
Remember those old cigarette advertisements with Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone?
Yeah, no.
Just like on a break, smoking cigarette,
that
black and
hilarious.
White.
Remember when doctors told us it was good to smoke cigarettes?
Technically is when you're pregnant.
What?
It increases serotonin levels.
Oh, good luck telling anybody that.
Dude, the crazy, I'm fascinated with old-time medicine. Like whenever I'm doing like research and doctors come up, and we're just, this popped in my brain again, just because it's this morning with the Aleister Crowley, but like, you know, like at the turn of the 20th century, you know, just a bit like 1900, around that kind of era, these guys were doing lots of like opiates and cocaine and formaldehyde, like huffing it. But it wasn't like, that part wasn't taboo. It's a weird, like, we're like, you know, pornography would be taboo, but drugs are just like, well, yeah, that's just, it's medicine. You just take it. And this one guy, this buddy of Alistair's in college had asthma, and like his treatment for asthma was basically a shitload of heroin, even like injecting it, and then, you know, drinking the laudanum, the cocaine, and then huffing, like a lot of huffing of ether. And I'm just like, I just can't imagine follow-up checks with doctors back then. Like, how are you feeling? Much worse.
Yeah. Numb.
Are you doing all the heroin?
Numbed.
Are you doing
all the heroin? It's so interesting, right? It's just interesting that, like, how they used to survive. And then they survived. Like, who
That's
knows how long this guy lived?
Yeah.
You know, my grandfather.
Crowley made it to 72, and he did a shit ton of drugs for decades.
My grandfather smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Worked in a chemical plant before that was considered bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it just couldn't die, dude. Just couldn't die.
I wonder if stress over worrying about all the things that can kill you that we hear about constantly is actually in some ways worse for us and for our health, just the constant thinking about it.
For sure.
Than when people just, ignorance is bliss.
Oh, 100%.
And we're just like messing around with chemicals and fucking drinking their laudanum and, you know, snorting some opium and whatever. Just going about their day.
Yeah, it's just so weird, man. It's like once they tell you something's bad, everybody starts just dying of it, right? Yeah. It just, and dude, they've done a study. They say like anxiety's up 70% and they're blaming it on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, my social media, especially on Instagram, is just literally black strippers. That's all I follow are black strippers. So I feel great. I have no anxiety. It's like black strippers and the Oakland Raiders. That's all my Instagram feed is. And so it's like I'm like this weird section of Compton. You know what I'm saying?
That's a funny angle on social media. It's like do your thing. But when you follow people, only follow people that don't make you feel bad about yourself.
100%. Mm. If you have a shitty view of the world, follow different people on in social
That's
media.
Funny.
That's my you know, and like it's so funny because the news put this out that anxiety's up, and I'm like, yeah, because of you guys. You guys literally
fear.
That's
fear.
All it is.
Envy. Yeah, they're just constantly pushing, you know, things you can't have, things you should be afraid of. Always.
It's
yeah.
this weird thing, you know, and it's this quote that you told me about. Who said it? Basically, if you don't read the newspaper, you are uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Huh?
Which is a really great quote because it's so true. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm doing this podcast over the year. I think we're entering our 1 year in the new since Ryan's been on.
Yeah. Anniversary.
And it's basically that I've learned that. You know, nothing is by just coincidence. Everything is done systematically. And I believe that the whole thing is making everybody so busy that they don't have time to really look into what's going on. So what they want to do is spend an hour watching the news with people that they trust. And over time, I think that game has changed. And so they're getting the information that they want you to know. You know, there's this meme I saw that said that, like, the news is basically extremely rich people telling rich people to convince middle-income people that poor people are all the problems, you know? And it's like, it's a very...
Do you think they're that organized? Because that's what I always wonder about the upper echelon, you know? Like, when there's, like, a various, you know, whatever, for lack of a better word, conspiracy, whatever about this, what I sometimes bump on is I'm like, are they smart? Not that they wouldn't want to. But are they smart enough and able to work with each other well enough to actually pull that off? Because I feel like when you get to that those power levels, they'd be so competitive with each other. It's like, would they really organize
For
cohesively?
Me, and it's what we're going to get into today, is that you know, you don't move up into certain areas unless you, one, play ball and you completely understand what it is. And there's like, and a lot of this is what we're going
to
talk
about. You don't
get
to go rogue and make it by and large,
you don't get to move to certain places if you're the squeaky wheel, you know?
Right.
That's just my opinion.
And that mirrors corporate structure.
100%,
you know?
Dude.
It's like any corporation, not that I've been around a lot of them, you know, but the ones I have, even fucking Playboy, this janky, how is this place still around? But like, you see the people that don't get fired and you see the people that move up, and so many of them are just blatant putzes.
Yeah.
But man, you watch them in front of somebody above them. Oh, they can talk the talk. Doing all the right laughs.
I see
laughs
it happen
and
all
the
time.
Yeah.
But those are the people who also eventually become, I've seen people achieve all their dreams.
Right.
And they're miserable because
it's hollow.
It's just like, we were having a talk on this political show I did yesterday. Like, to make it to a certain level in Hollywood, and I don't think Hollywood is any different than Washington, D.C. or Wall Street, is like, it takes a certain level of psychopath make it in this town. And that's why we hear like Steve Harvey and Ellen are just fucking monsters of people, because it's like, either you have to be that driven, and then you start making business decisions over what you want, what you originally wanted to do, you know?
Yep.
I don't know a lot of people that get into comedy going, I want to make gazillions of dollars. I think that comes down the line. I think you get in because you want to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, man, it's weird to think about. Like, I think, you know, I think, you know, like, oh, if I made, you know, this, then I'd be cool. And then sometimes you do make that and you're like, yeah, but if I could just do this. I have to constantly kind of like, my wife and I talk about this, step back and be like, you know what? Things are good. Things are fine right now, man. We're not on the street. We're not doing this. Let's just enjoy it. Let's not pushing all the time. You know, like, we constantly do that ebb and flow of like, no, whoa. Because you're right. Because I remember living in Santa Monica. I would go over to Montana Ave. A buddy of mine lived there. One of the most expensive streets of real estate in the country. Preposterous wealth. Beautiful people. They're Pilates bodies. They got their press
Pilates
juices,
bodies,
right?
I like that.
You know, I mean, they got the work done. I mean, they've made it beyond making it.
Yeah.
And they're fucking miserable. Mm-hmm. Just these scowls and just angry. And I'm like, what was the point then?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the point then? It's like, if you can't be happy.
It's never enough. You get everything you want and you think that's it, and it's just not.
Right, right.
And I've seen it happen with in comedy. I've seen these people come in, they're hilarious and they're funny, and then things start to pop, and then they just change.
Wow.
And what they're doing on stage isn't what they used to do. And then, you know, you hear they're in therapy 1,000 times a week, you know? Right. And it's just like, at the end of the day, you can't take the cash with you.
Right.
You know? So at the end of the day, it's like, did you do something that made you happy?
Yep. That's what I've always liked about you, and not to like blow smoke up your ass, but in comedy, it's like—
Please do. I'm on the edge.
You have a childlike passion, but in this the way of your enthusiasm, where you can tell like your posts and everything, that you're happy to be here.
Yeah.
You're happy to be at the store. You're producing shows at the store. You're like, oh my God, look at this fucking lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
I love seeing that for somebody who's been doing comedy, you know, like myself, like a long time, you know, like that. Because a lot of guys, man, once they make it past 12, 13 years, that just dies.
Yeah.
And they're just going through the motions, and they just, you know, they're always thinking about what they don't have as opposed to what they do have.
I get lost.
I love it, man. I love it. It's very refreshing.
I can get lost in that. I can get lost.
Well, you're
in that,
human,
you know?
but you seem to do a great job of like enjoying this. It looks like
no, and there is smoke and mirrors to everything. I tell people there's some smoke and mirrors. Like, you know, it's like I sometimes he'll call me and I'll just go fucking dark, and I just don't want to talk to people. I get like that occasionally. You know, it's just the reality. It's like my best friends are like the, you know, the Mount Rushmore of comedy. Oh. You know, and it's just like they are on the mountain, and it's like when you don't. You go look at that, you're like, oh, fuck, I want to be on the mountain,
right.
You know? But then you don't look who's behind you. It's never...
Yeah.
You know, it's like my dream is like to shoot my special at the Viper Room, and I'm doing it. But there's also...
When are you doing that?
March 25th.
Congrats, man. That's fucking huge.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I'm actually, tonight, I'm running a special. I'm doing an hour down in at the Comedy Palace. So, and then I'm doing tomorrow night, I'm doing... The Velvet Jones in Santa Barbara running the hour out there too. Tickets available on their websites. I'm just trying to run this out. I know the hour inside and out.
But
you know,
still, yeah.
The question
the Viper Room, that's crazy. That's great.
Yeah, you know what it is, man. It's got huge name recognition, and at the end of the day, it's like my girlfriend's like, you got to put 100 people in each show, which I'm fine with.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to have to do more than that, because then it becomes about promoting. And unless you're going through somebody like Comedy Dynamics, who are like their job is to fill it for you. But that's not an option right now. And I want to do it independently.
And you don't need it. You know, it's funny. I've been talking to my agent. We're taking some experiments and chances on different rooms. And it's amazing how the same amount of people that package differently the experience that has you on an artist. Like, and the example is like, you know, like I'm at Brea, you know, this week, which is a huge room.
Yeah.
And it's like last night there was, you know, on a Thursday or whatever, I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, it's a Thursday last night. And like 120 people or something that all wanted to be there, but it felt disappointing. And I had to catch myself because I'm like, because the room seats 360.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. I was in Minneapolis 2 weeks ago, this cool little club called Sisyphus Brewing. They got a cool little stage area in the back, did 5 shows, like 4 stand-up, one live. All but one were completely sold out. One just had a few tickets, 85-seater, small place.
Perfect.
And so you feel fucking good about yourself. You know, like 400, 500 people come out to that market total.
Yeah.
But it feels amazing. And it's like, so I get to like the Viper Room, where it's like, man, it's like, have the diehards there, you know, and that's all you need. You can make a great living. People don't always realize that with like comedy, you can have a lot of fun and make a great living on, you know, a couple hundred people to market.
Yeah.
Of niche core followers.
Yeah.
You don't need the thousands.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great to get there, but
sometimes
the reality is it's like, it's just for whatever reason, it's just not in the cards. I mean, it just there's a million variables out there.
And LA's hard to sell tickets in general because there's so many shows all the time.
Well,
so,
you're up against everything.
Everything, always.
And then for a long time, everybody was papering rooms.
Right.
So they train people not to
want to pay,
for tickets and stuff like that. And it's just like, you start giving away the house.
Yep.
That's all that, like, I'm a Clipper fan. For like 10 years, I didn't pay for tickets.
No
then
way,
they got
for the Clippers?
What's that?
They papered with the Clippers? I didn't know that.
Well, I would be just giving people, like, they just want you to get concessions and stuff like that. So
funny.
I would get free tickets. They were giving them away.
Yeah, it used to be like half full at times. You'd see like they'd zoom out and you'd be like, "Oh my god, it's not." They just packed it.
Yeah. So it, you know, but now it's like they were good for a while. They're still decent, but you know, they want you to pay for tickets. You're like, "What? I'm not paying for fucking tickets. I didn't pay forever." And it's just a weird way to run a business, you know. And so you got to watch that stuff. I tell these young guys starting to promote in towns, like, you start giving away the door, they're never going to want to pay for tickets. If you want to get people in, go. It's a $10 ticket, but I'll put you on my VIP comp list for your email or something like that. You have to make it a value.
And will you own this special?
That's
the best.
I'm paying it. Well, you know, that's a big thing with Comedy Dynamics is that they own literally everything.
Right. Oh, I know. It's like, man, that's the best. It's like, I just independently finally released one recently. Like that, my last one was the first one I independently released. I loved it so much more. I had so much more control over every angle. And that was just an album.
Right.
But it's like, I'm randomly doing this vinyl pressing with some guys because I can.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to. And I'm like, do whatever. I got all the rights.
So how old's your podcast right now?
Almost a year and a half from the first. Yeah.
So it's like, what a difference a year and a half is, huh? I mean, like two different kind of things going on here.
It's taken on a life of its own where it's like, I've never had anything like this happen.
And I you know, I tell people, I go, if you're not mining the internet, you are missing humongous opportunities.
And I missed out forever. I was very reticent to kind of explore that. I was very traditional, and I finally just got beaten down enough as far as what I wanted to do that it pushed me into like going independent. And now I'm just, you know, I could kick myself like, why wasn't I doing this 10 fucking years ago?
Right.
But you can't, you know. And so, but now I'm just like, thank God I found it.
Everything happens
for a reason. Oh, and I was ready to embrace it.
You know.
And now it's like, oh, I love the DIY. Man, I love it.
It's such a real blessing. I mean, like, you know, I've been blessed. I've had a good year and a half financially, you know, for probably the first time in my life. I've always been a grinder and like, wasn't check to check, but just a little bit above that, you know. Now it's kind of a different thing through, you know, the two podcasts I do and those shows I do at the Comedy Store and anything I do on the road. I'll do about 2 weeks on the road, you know. That's all I really want.
You mean a month?
Two weeks a month.
That's what I want to get to.
It's not really like, I know I have friends of mine that are just like every week they're on the road and I just like, that's not my thing because stand-up is like this one thing that I love. And it used to be everything. Now it's just one of many things I enjoy. Like, I enjoy doing this as much as I do doing stand-up.
Yep, I'm with you, man.
And you have to, like, get to that place. And, like, I tell people with, like, YouTube, it's like, you know, this whole notion that, you know, Logan Pauls and all these, like, really idiotic human beings who've gotten these huge followings. And, like, people kind of demonize the YouTube because of those people.
Oh.
But at the end of the day, I go, they have no talent. They do have talent. I think being a train wreck is its own kind of talent.
Yes.
You know, as much as you want to hate Kim Kardashian and all those people.
Magnetic train wrecks, man.
That is a skill
in
itself to be able to lay it on the line and just have no care about any self-respect. But, you know, God bless you.
Right.
But if they can do it, why don't you go out and just do it? Do it your way and whatever you want to do. You know, there's a group out there. I say you should always look at like your podcast or whatever as a subreddit on Reddit. Like, what is the subreddit that they're like conspiracies have like 700,000 subscribers? Like, that's a huge market.
All time conspiracy channels like has like you said 700,000 something like that. Huge channels out there.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, some people like, oh, I just do a podcast about whatever. I go, that's great, but it's like, unless you're a Rogan who's coming in with this humongous following anyways, it's very hard to just be la-da-dee, la-da-da, you know, about whatever you want to do. It's like, what do you like talking about? What are you passionate about?
What are you passionate about? That's how, I know that's how you guys started. That's how I started mine, which is very organic. Like, what do I like already? I like researching weird shit on the web.
I was doing that
for years as a procrastination device.
Right.
You know, I should be working on something else. And I'm like, what's going on over here? And then you link. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
It's so interesting.
And now that's, the job.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You do some ones that I shit you not. Right when I see you post on Instagram, I'll be like, well, I got to hold on to that one for a couple weeks. And Sam's like, we do such different.
Oh, so different. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Different.
So it's great complimentary.
Yeah, and you're passionate in a way where I love it when you get angry. Because this guy you see right here is super nice.
Yeah, the nicest dude ever.
Hulk. There's like a
big man.
It gets scary. I almost like want to see where this goes today to see if you guys can both redline.
Yeah.
And because it's not going to get physical.
I get angry about certain things.
Passionate.
Yeah. Passionate about like injustice or bully types or something fire me up. Or I mean, I got angry today. I do this Idiot to the Internet segment, but I was talking about this Crowley thing, and there was, you know, with Crowley, it's like he got absorbed into this. Not that I'm even a big Crowley fan, because I'm not. I'm just finding him interesting.
Fascinating.
You know, but it's like there's this Christian far right that will, you know, he had this group AA is what the symbols for it, you know, for his Thelema, this kind of religion he started. But then because it happens to be AA, and it was just this Latin words that are, you know, the two actual words for the acronym, well, Alcoholics Anonymous came out not too much later. And then these lunatic far right people will try to read satanic origins into AA because of an association with Crowley, and because they think, you know, that he was satanic.
So interesting.
And so then they're putting out videos trying to get people to stop going to alcohol, trying to get alcoholics to not go to AA because it's demonic. And then you read the comments and these fucking idiots talk about like how they're trying to talk their family members out of going there. And I'm like, you stupid son of a bitch. That's the stuff that gets me worked up.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I'm like, now people are throwing their lives away where AA could legitimately help them.
Yeah,
and they're
sure.
not going to because they're being manipulated by a fucking moron.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Oh, that stuff gets me angry. Where it's like people's lives are being, and you could say, and you could argue, like, yes, that's their choice, but you know, I get angry when I feel like it's people who are maybe they grew up poor, they didn't have the educational opportunities, and they're ignorant, not entirely by choice, and then you get these puppet masters, you know, unintentional sometimes, just fucking ruining their lives with their nonsense.
Yeah, and just basically manipulating people into doing stupid. I think that is a lot of. The mainstream media does that.
Yes.
I see a lot of these people with blue checks by their names on Twitter putting out information or point of view that in reality that will never, ever, ever affect their lives. You know, I have my opinion on free trade. I'm anti-free trade. You know, I feel like it's a redistribution of the wealth. I feel like it costs jobs. And I'm against it, but I listen to these people. I see these people on the internet with blue checks by their names railing against, you know, anybody who's not free trade. I'm like, it will never affect your life. You're on MSNBC or Fox or whatever it is, making $30,000 a day reading off a prompter telling people that have real, like the plants are closed.
Right.
That we should be for free trade. And it's like, it's not going to affect your fucking life, man. You know, it's like, you know, say what you want about Trump, and I'm not a Trump guy. I don't like anybody.
Right.
I think if you put Santa Claus in the role of the president, he's going to be a war criminal within two weeks. It's just it's the job of the empire right now, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like these people putting out information to the masses that don't apply to their lives in general. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're putting out, it's like my whole problem with social justice warriors is like, we don't know who they really are. Like you're sitting here yelling and screaming about this injustice and that injustice. Right. But we don't know where you come from, you know, like, it's like some of these people in this town, I watch people become very militant in LA. They go, they come out here bright bushy tails, and then they realize if they yell and scream about who's more offended and all this stuff, that for some reason they think that Hollywood will work more. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's going on in the nation in general in so many different ways. You know, it's like it's so polarized, you know, whether it's over some kind of social justice issue or, you know, like I was talking about, like the far right and the, you know, the people they think are pagans or Satanists. And if people would just fucking listen for a second to the other side, they would realize, oh, that person's not actually what I thought they were. That issue is not what I thought it was. You know, it's like, but it's like we're in this weird extremist climate where people, they don't listen at all. They hear, like, I even threw out a topic thing of just going to talk about the whole gun issue. Just going to talk about it. And I was very clear. I just want to throw out the stats and just see, you know, not be on either side. Make an effort, true effort, to just present what's going on there on both sides.
Right.
Couldn't have been more kind of even-handed with the sales pitch. And still you get people online like, oh, I won't be listening to that one. Well, you're the person that needs to, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
you know, that just shuts off.
Yeah, I can't. And I'm like, you got to go, man. You're just trying to, and you hear it all the time, whether you're having a discussion with a woman and out of nowhere, like she just goes straight to rape. And you're like, that's not even the conversation. And, you know, I love when he kind of said I don't bash when what's going on right now is like, I feel like the conversation is one way.
Right.
And maybe guys have earned that they've been such monsters forever, but not all guys are monsters. And that's kind of like, I've had two shows lately where I've had to deal with that, where I simply said, it is generalizing saying all white men are racist and all white men are rapists. They're not. There's a ton of them that are not into any of that shit. And if it was any other demographic, you would never get away with saying that.
Well, I love the irony of it. I love the irony of like being on social justice and saying that, like, you know, making some generalization about like white men being racist. I'm like, how do you not see that? That is racist.
100%.
You are racist to push that out there. You're the racist.
And
you know?
It's because nobody checks them.
Right.
And then it gets like they start screaming and you defend yourself by screaming back. Yeah. And then they tell you, why are you yelling at me? And it's like, it's the best example of that is this Berkeley video where this black woman grabs this white guy with dreads and tells him he can't have that haircut. It's not his haircut. God. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you can't have that haircut. And he's just there going, I'm just like, I'm into this and that. She's like, no, you can't have it. And then at some point he's like, let me go. And she goes, don't touch me. Why are you trying to attack me? And it's like,
that's insanity. That's insanity. You know, when you start drawing those lines and telling people what they can do and that they, you know, can't, you know, like
anything past, treat everybody with love and respect.
Right.
And that we all should have equal opportunity to everything, whether it's love, business opportunity, general respect on the level.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything past that, it's going to fail. It's going to fall hollow because it's just idealism.
Right.
And idealism isn't in the reality when we're out there in the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel bad for those people who use those crutches all the time, whether it be their gender or their race or their sexual, and they immediately assume the other person is attacking him for that reason. It really it stunts their personal growth. You know, like I feel bad for them where it's like, okay, maybe some people have treated you this way because of the color of your skin or your gender or your outlook on life, or maybe you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Maybe you personally are an asshole, but you never get to actually kind of come to terms with that
because
you always throw it off to the side on some other issue, you know? And the Me Too thing, those things, I get sad for the real victims. People like in that example of the women who have been truly victimized and have real stories to tell and horrible things have happened to them. But then you get these other people who want are just like, you know, they want to co-opt that tragedy for their own kind of personal, you know, attention kind of seeking purposes.
Yeah.
And they do an injustice to the people that have experienced the real issue they're supposedly fighting for, where they water it down, you know, and then you know, people, it's just fucking.
And the artist community at some point, it became cool to conform. And that's never been what art is. Art is always meant to be the truth.
Right.
And now it's like they can't conform quick enough.
Yep.
And it just ends up being, and I think it's all done on purpose, man.
Yeah.
I think it's meant to get everybody, especially on the left, to fight with each other because the liberals, you know, in the sense of like open love everybody, you know, it's like, I don't care what you say. We were told all these conservative values about, you know, if you're gay, you're going to burn in hell. If you do drugs, you're going to burn in hell. You know, if you're interracial dating, it's going to be. And none of that was true.
Right.
And it all turned out to be lies. But yet we, you know, it just. But liberals are always the ones who make changes. So what's the best way to stop change? Get them to fight with each other. Yeah. And that's my honest belief, what's going on right now at the highest levels. And that's why the condensing of all the five people owning media, you know? And it's like, you know, it's like when 80 people owned 90% of the media, when 80 groups, it's a lot harder to be like, okay, everybody's on, can get on one. When you have five people.
Yeah. Well, what happened to antitrust with those situations, you know, where it's like, you know, they're trying
to. The Clintons deregulated which brings us into our shit. I'm sorry, let's get into it.
So false flags claims have been barnacles on many of the traumatic events of the past 60 years. John F.K.'s assassination, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Boston bombings, mass shooting in Virginia Tech, San Bernardino, Sandy Hook, and especially September 11th. Not long ago, pizza was associated with the Ninja Turtles, not pedophiles. False flags are typically an attempt to explain or pin the blame on an actual event that has occurred. One we're talking about today is something that happened back in, was it 2016 now?
It seems like it's... it all came out in, or probably the late 2015 into 2000. No, it'd probably be 2016.
Mm-hmm. This is what makes the false flag claim surrounding Pizzagate, as the supposed evils surrounding Comet Ping Pong are known, even more bizarre and confusing than usual. The allegations of child abuse, the spread of dubious websites, and accusations of an additional conspiracy within a conspiracy claim that a false flag operation was at work to discredit and censor the alternative sites that originally pushed the stories, such as InfoWars.
So I'm super excited to have you on.
I know, I remember studying so much about this. Yeah,
because it's the first conversation that's going to be had between on this show and with me between two people who've actually done the research.
On the Pizzagate,
and we've maybe come to two different conclusions.
Okay.
But
I'm
very excited because most of the time I'm just arguing against emotion.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what I find most as a conspiracy theorist, you know, who is now the conspiracy theorist of the new cat ladies, okay? We're like the crazy people.
Right.
And what I find is like it's mostly conspiracy versus propaganda.
Right.
Like people are just regurgitating stuff that they've heard, these sound bites and these cliches that are put out by, or these hashtags or whatever put out by the mainstream media. So I'm super excited about having you on.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss this and the Clintons' roles, I guess, in this stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
So basically I want to get into, you don't believe that it is a real thing.
The pedophile ring is a real thing?
Or whatever you want to get into, however you want to do
it. No, I mean, my thing when I looked into Pizzagate, I mean, it to me, it read of like somebody on the right, and who knows exactly what, I don't think necessarily a higher up. It could have been like a lower person who wanted to help the cause. And they have this system. The system is what scares me more than who actually did it, where you can now hire some Eastern European, somebody, you know, like in Serbia or somewhere like that. You can pay them 100 euros to create a mirror website where they'll push whatever narrative you want them to push on their site. And it'll look quasi-legit, the site.
For 100 euros?
For 100 euros.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It gets trickier.
It gets trickier. So you can add multiple sites. And then they have this sheep herding kind of analogy where it's like, and then also these people you can pay, you can have some people, let's say 10 people with real Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. And they will push, again, a hashtag, some kind of narrative. You know, so-and-so did this. Hillary Clinton molested kids.
Okay.
Variations of that. And then underneath them are the sheep, and that's the automated Twitter bots.
Okay.
And you can have so many of them, if you pay enough money, that you have the real people, you have the sites all pushing the same agenda, the Twitter bots pushing, and then it starts to go out there and starts to trend.
Okay.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because once it starts to trend, then people who that narrative aligns with what they think probably did happen, real people,
there's a term
pick
for
it
that,
up,
right?
Yeah, and then they start pushing it, and then it becomes an even bigger storm. It starts to snowball, and then, like, you know, they're pushing it, and that's what happened, I think, with Pizzagate, was then real politicians are seeing people on the alt-right push this narrative. They're retweeting it, you know, which we do kind of sometimes, I think, quickly without thinking. You're just like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Always.
Retweet, you know? And so this thing that started with, possibly started with just a complete lie and complete nonsense that somebody paid random web designers and the people they interviewed about this over in Europe, it was funny to hear their perspective. They're like, we don't care what the message is.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we just want the money. It's like, and we found, and sometimes it's based on clicks, you know, where, oh, Trump for right now, if you push like bad stuff about him, whatever, it'll get more views than it will if it's a different name. Some of it's based on just popularity. But it's just crazy that you can create this whole narrative that then takes on a real life, then shows up on InfoWars. Alex Jones, he gets a hold of it. He pushes it out. He has a big following. They push it out.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And the Clinton one specifically, what I thought was funny, if this is true,
okay,
is all the pedophile rumors, if you trace them back, years ago, there was this supposed scandal, and I vaguely remember hearing this, and all this stuff kind of plays into how our memories work, too, where you'll remember the gist of something, but not the specifics.
Yeah.
I remember whisperings of some child pedophile ring that the Clintons were involved in, and it had to do with some kind of pastor. Well, if you go back to the original story now, in a town by the name of Clinton, New York, a pastor there was a pedophile and got arrested. People assumed when they just saw the blip headline that it was the Clintons' pastor, made the association, ran with it, and then all of a sudden, so then that becomes a thing in people's heads, then it goes away for a couple years, then something like Pizzagate comes up, and you're like, oh, you know, I thought they were pedophiles.
Yep.
And it's fucking crazy that it's possible that you could do this, and have no truth behind it whatsoever. So, I mean, that's what I do think's happened. What I don't know for sure is who exactly started to push it. And I'm of the mind where this isn't, to me, a problem of the right. I feel like the left, if they could get away with it and get their person in office, they would do the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't feel like there's like an ethical superiority on one side. It's just scary to me that it's possible. And that now you have all these people, kind of like what I mentioned at the start of the show, of the AA thing with the Crowley,
right,
who they don't do research. They just see... They don't differentiate between sources. Mm-hmm. They see one video. They see another video. This person could be made by a PhD who is part of an independent think tank and has a long academic, you know, record that's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
This other person, you know, just could be living in a doomsday, you know, fucking prepper thing, right, in Glendive, Montana.
Right.
Yeah. And he has mental health issues. And they just see the same video. And they're like, well, fucking... I don't know. I like what he's saying.
I understand what you're saying, for sure.
It's a weird time.
I think we also have to, like, take a look at a lot of things that are going on here. You know, we are these millennials, for whatever you want to say, they're very interesting because they find that they take the information from a YouTube video and they have, right, that has as much credibility, yes, as a network television show. So, you know, some people might see that as bad, and I could see why that is bad.
It's just harder to find good sources. You have to really
that is a problem. But we also have a situation in which, and I really do believe this, is that the people who don't want to be in the conspiracies, right, they don't like keeping score. You know, and that's one thing for conspiracy, yeah, theorists. Like I believe that we keep the score of what turned out to be true, what turned out not to be true. And if you just go through the media and the mainstream media, we have, right, seen over and over and over and over and over again, not just, you know, misinformation, blatant lying, you know,
right,
to the masses. And yet people don't want to remember that. People don't want to sit there and go, oh, they lied about, you know, weapons, yes, of mass destruction. Who's behind this? Yes. Who's behind, yes, that? It is, you know, it's like Operation Mockingbird, which, right, is the, you know, the CIA definitely infiltrated the media and put people, you know, it's like Anderson, right, Cooper, when it was an intern at the CIA, you know, he's a Vanderbilt, or is it Vanderbilt? Like,
yeah, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
As, like, in Vanderbilt Jeans.
Yeah.
His really?
His mom is Vanderbilt Jeans. And that they are like a CIA like operative. Like
they are very high. You know, like they are.
No,
like,
way.
They're, yeah, huge into it, and he's always, yeah, been a part of that. And there's, you know, it's like if you go real deep, yeah, into it, you know, right, there's also things about Obama you could look into. And I know nobody wants to do that because, you know, then it gets this ting of racism, and you're like, but there's like crazy shit about his mother and, like,
yeah,
how she was a CIA operative, and there's like all this crazy,
well,
stuff.
Well, the CIA has done some, I mean, legitimately, I mean, people like don't want to hear it sometimes, but it's like, no, it's all documented. And we're talking about before the show even started about, like, you know, where's the money? Where's the power? That is what I think about with conspiracies, especially with our country. It's like you have the most powerful nation still in the world, most powerful economy. Like, there's so much at stake for them to take a chance and let, right, somebody who could fuck everything up for the upper, oh, yeah, 1%.
Well, yeah. Why, if you're, I mean, we're talking like trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Why would you ever leave that to a flip of a coin?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you ever have both sides of it?
Right.
And not only that, it's like, and here's where we're going to start getting into it. It's like, why would you not ensure that, right, people play ball? Like,
right,
why would you ever even risk that somebody would get into a position where they wouldn't instantly greenlight what you want them to,
yeah,
do?
Yeah, yeah.
For trillions of dollars. I mean, like, let's take a look at, yeah, like, Michigan State and Penn State for a second, right?
Okay, yeah.
Giant fucking, right, pedophile,
yeah,
like, problems.
Yeah.
And at the highest levels, right, people found out about it and did nothing.
Because they want to keep winning.
Because they want, I mean, we're talking millions of dollars.
Yep,
at the,
exactly,
most, millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So what would people do for trillions of dollars?
I do think about that. I mean, I saw, like, I went to Gonzaga, and I've seen firsthand how one successful sports program, just men's basketball in that case, not even having a football team, can transform a campus. And, you know, it's like, I don't know all the numbers, but you just, when I went there compared to 10 years,
oh, 10 yeah,
years, like, walking around, clearly in the hundreds of millions had been pouring into there to rebuild it into this fucking mecca of a campus instead of this dinky little Jesuit school I went to.
I mean,
and you take that, and that's in Spokane, Washington, one basketball program. Now you're talking the United States.
Yeah, 100%, dude, 100%. And here's the thing I want to get into real quick with when it involves this, you know, because this is mostly the belief, and I don't know why, but it's mostly the belief that it's the, you know, the Clintons and all that stuff. I don't believe that is what it is, but they are the focus of it right now.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is that, like, we've seen scandals like this in, like, almost every Anglo-Saxon Christian white country. There has been some sort of political or on top or religious scandal involving pedophilia.
And I always get skeptical when it does go to – not that the pedophilia stuff hasn't happened, but I feel like when you're trying to slander or bring somebody down, what is the worst thing you can accuse them of? Who are the people who get raped in prison?
Right.
Pedophiles.
Right.
It's like you want – if you're going to bring somebody down, if you want to put a taint on somebody, that's what your go-to is going to be. And while there has been real examples – do you remember the 80s satanic pedophile craze?
Yeah.
That was all fucking lies. That all went back to a book that some quack of a psychiatrist published out of Vancouver, Canada, about his supposed, you know, stuff that came out of this hypnotic sessions with this patient that he went on to have an affair with and blah, blah, blah. And they went on Oprah Winfrey and went all this stuff. Real journalists, investigative journalists were like, this is fucking crazy. This has never happened.
It was recessed like satanic ritual abuse.
Yep. And then when they actually got into it, so people just hear, oh my God, satanic ritual abuse.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like in the Bay there, Manhattan Bay, one of those communities, some huge court case went through where a bunch of people went to prison, everything. Turns out it was all based on nothing. They were released later after their lives were ruined.
Yeah.
It was all false accusations because the kids were made to believe because the police were scared about it and because everything. Yeah. And it's just people's fear of like this weird satanic pedophilia. But there's so many instances. I always get worried because there's so many examples in history of crazy accusations, and then people just run with it because it's like their worst fear, especially Christian parent.
Right.
Oh my God, you're fucking, you got a finger in my son's butthole.
Yeah.
And you're making him worship the devil.
Yeah.
I
do get that. I mean, but we've had, there's like confirmed cases of this. Right now, Iceland is going through a humongous, like at the highest levels of everywhere, there has been, they discovered a giant pedophile ring to the point that they might have to dissolve the government.
What?
Yep, that's a giant thing that's going on right now.
That's crazy. Why do they fucking, I guess I have trouble because I just don't understand. You build your life to make all this power, and it was all in the end so you could put your dick in a kid's butt. Like, why?
I wouldn't say that is what the end goal is.
Why do they do that?
Well, for me, it's that they fast track these people. Okay, so you know, in Australia, they had a giant like a religious pedophile ring get busted. We just had Iceland again. England is going through it again. England. I mean, we had the Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was like, he got knighted. He got knighted
the
by
Catholic
the royal
church.
Family.
I mean, the huge ongoing Catholic Church stuff. It's like,
we have a whole thing with the Catholic Church, the royal family, the Treaty of 1213, you know, where basically the royal family of England agreed to that everything they own is the Catholic Church's. That kind of connection that went on. There's a situation right now where like 50 politicians in England are like accused of this stuff, and people are like gonna be, oh, it's hysteria. But
so you think in the Comet Pizza, to kind of bring this back, you think the kids were molested?
I literally like to go, let's take the pizza shop out of it.
Okay.
Let's take the pizza shop out of it, that there was something going on, because that seems to be more than anything what people hinge on that.
Right.
Dude, they were like doing shit to kids in a fucking pizza shop. Well, Jared from Subway was diddling kids, but I don't really want to say that's a pizza place. I think I don't think that's throwing the baby out with the water, in my opinion.
Do you think the emails were coded? The emails that broke, that got leaked by WikiLeaks, that supposedly had the references, because I've read many of those.
I have some things I want to show you real quick, okay? That, and you could kind of...
to me, they read of just shorthand, where it's like, I remember talking about it in my podcast, where it's like, I have text exchanges with certain people in my life, which is based on our sense of humor. If you didn't know me, and those were released, it would make Pizzagate look like I would be
most
wicked man. I would be Crowley. I would be the most wicked man in the world. I would just be like, oh my God, he's talking about doing what? Shock value humor.
I could see some of those, like when they get CP, cheese pizza, but it also means child pornography is weird.
Yes.
The one that's crazy is like, this one won't last the night. It's like, what are, whoever's like, dude, you got to get this pizza, man. It's not going to last the night. They're talking about like, it sounds like this thing is going to die. It's weird. Like, who talks about pizza? Like, dude, this is the best. Like, I don't text. Pizza's here. That's it. Like, bro, this ain't going to make it. You better get over here, man.
But do you have any friends who do that? Like, because I have friends who just like, they just have a weird shorthand. They have like a weird, like if you take it out of context, I have so many exchanges where you'd be like, because one of the posts might be referencing an inside joke from 2 months before. I love a good inside joke. I have them in almost like so many different text chains. But they might be, one might be like an old phrase. Like, you know, every once in a while, this one guy, I talk about safety. Like, I'll just be like, hey, man, are you safe? And he's like, I'm so safe right now. He's like, I heard some noises, but like right now I feel safe. I'm like, well, if you need me, if you need safety, I'm here.
I respect that.
And it's just fucking nonsense.
Yeah, I get it.
But mixed into real
stuff.
So
let's just say we are in a chain, right? We're in a text chain. And out of nowhere, there is rumors that this guy diddles kids, right? And there's rumors.
Ryan diddles kids. Cut that. Put it out of context. Put it on the internet.
But would you keep texting him about diddling kids if you knew that he really, there is these rumors about him diddling children? Would you still text him?
Like, you mean
that stuff?
Like in a joke way? No, I wouldn't. Yeah, no, right? I wouldn't.
So
I only
becomes,
joke. Yes, okay.
And this has followed Podesta for a very long time. He, you know, his brother is Anthony Podesta. And Anthony Podesta was very close to Dennis Hazard.
Hazard,
the convicted pedophile. They were all they were like school summer camp friends. And they're here's where we're doing. Like, these people have to be the most unlucky human beings in the world to be like have this much like chaos around them.
Now, is that the plane guy? Is that the guy down in Florida? Now I'm trying to remember the name. It's been like the Dennis guy. That's the guy who had the island, right?
No. That we'll get into Jeffrey Epstein,
too. Oh, yes.
Too.
Okay.
But Haskins or Hasker, what was his name? I'm going to get murdered by everybody.
You're right. It's like Hazard.
Convicted.
Hazard. Okay.
Convicted. And then, just to let you know kind of like the attitude, once he got out of jail for that stuff, he was instantly doing like talking head stuff on like all these like CNN and it's like, why is this guy talking to any? Why are we having this?
Now, not to be weird, because I genuinely don't know, but what was his conviction? Because I will say, with the sex offense stuff, there can be like the 17-year-old, there can be the 9-year-old, there can be the you took a piss by a school.
I don't know the ages, but you
fucked a sixth grader. You know, it's like there's a wide range.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
I understand that there's a big difference between like 18 is this number, and that you know if someone's 17,
right?
I mean, it's still manipulating somebody at a certain age, but I
but it's different than trolling with a van
at a
grade
right.
school.
Yeah, he was like 75, and she's under 18.
Oh Jesus! Okay, so.
No. That wasn't him. It was a boy. Mm-hmm. It was like he was a wrestling coach, and he was like, and it was the kids he was fucking teaching. And the big thing was that he got busted, paying them off not to talk.
Okay, yeah.
And that, I think, is what he really goes to jail for.
Right.
And all that other stuff. So let's take this guy, James Elefantis, who has been rumored to actually be a Rothschild. There's, like, these rumors. But James Elefantis isn't his real last name. Elefantis, I believe, in French, is a translation to, is basically along the lines of I love children, like... It's a weird kind of like translation.
Like his name?
Yeah. It like translates to like child lover or some like weird thing
Can
like that.
Can you imagine if you're like, if your just name happened to be like if Tripoli, you're like, you find the origins, you're like, butthole diddler.
Yeah.
What?
It's like
I've
in
been
the
family for so many years.
It's like in the Olympics where that Chinese guy was named Dong Dong.
Yeah, his name means I love children in French. Yep.
Right?
That's terrible.
So the big thing is that he, you know, for the longest time he had his picture on his Instagram wasn't of him. And I'm trying to actually open it, but I can't but it basically was this very famous boy lover of this emperor back in the day. The actual picture was of a statue of the guy
right.
that was known as the boy lover of this famous emperor king.
Yeah, so many of the Romans were into that. I mean, that was like a cultural thing.
Very much yeah. so. And yeah. then at some point, someone goes, okay.
No more boy fucking.
Fucking these kids are like not good. We're going to make a law that says no to that. No more fucking of the kids. So when he gets in trouble, right, he gets a lawyer. Who's his lawyer? His lawyer is Andrew Klein, okay? Mm-hmm. Andrew Klein actually owns a pizza shop. And this is going to be weird. I'd like to show it on here, but I'm just going to show it to you guys right here. He owns a pizza shop.
On the same street?
On the same street. And the pizza shop name is Besta Pizza. Okay?
Besta?
Besta Pizza. Okay? Which is a translation. The word Besta means beast. Okay? Which is all this weird ass shit, right? So Besta is this. This is, I wish I could show. I should have prepared.
No,
but
in what language does that mean beast?
You got to look it up. I look okay. it up. I wish I was more detailed oriented. I'm really not, but
seems
you
Latin.
Look, you will do. But if you look at this, this is the symbol of the boy love. This is recognized by the FBI. What is the symbol of boy
like
boy love?
A small yeah. triangle within a larger triangle,
and that is consistent in a couple things. Okay, that is the symbol of Besta Pizza. Which is in there. Now, the guy who owns...
Now, to be fair,
yeah.
also the shape of a pizza slice.
100%, dude.
Right.
100%.
So there's always those,
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's
right,
not true.
Right,
and that's,
right.
that's the discussion going on here. But just know after this all came out, they changed the symbol.
Yeah, but as we know, sex sells, and child sex probably sells to very, very specific
to some,
now,
to some people. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, who owns this is Andrew Klein. Who's Andrew Klein? Andrew Klein... was actually the owner of he used to be in charge of anti-child trafficking in the U.S. government. So it's very interesting that
wow.
that
is a weird. Actually, when you look at it closer, it is weird that it's like the wrapping.
Yeah,
it's a triangle, but it's also wrapping around like this. Okay, so
but let's take a look at this, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within this whole area, there's Comic Ping Pong. There's Besta Pizza. Okay, now. Over here, which the symbol is this bookshop over
right.
here, which is the Bistro and Artisan, which was, which it, you know, we've seen Hillary over there and all this shit. Now, the guy that walks into shoots up the...
the guy who shot into Comet. Yeah.
He actually used to work for a group called... Beyond Borders, okay? And guess where Beyond Borders used to go to? Haiti, okay? His father used to be the head of... hold on one second here. His father... Oh, perfect, dude. His father, which his father's name is Harry Welch Jr., okay? Runs a production company called Forever Young Productions.
that's weird.
Not good.
That's not good.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
and their symbol is just a dick on a kid's face.
Yes, that's what it is.
They didn't try to hide it.
Found the youth.
Now Beyond Found Borders it. Is across the street from Comic Ping Pong. Okay, now
right.
there's always been that there's underground tunnels under Washington D.C. that all lead to this one museum that is owned by James Elefantis called the Pegasus Museum.
Now the things with Comet, they talked about how there was no basement. So do you think that is that like did they hide it?
I don't know if it's a basement, but
like
this is
no
from his own
level.
Instagram. Whatever that is his own. It's from his own Instagram.
Yeah.
Whatever that room is, I don't know what that room is or where it is, but that's from his own Instagram. Jimmy Comet.
That's the guy who wrote. Yeah. Wow. I'm trying to picture like with some. I mean, there's refrigerator.
I don't know
scary.
What it is.
That's
okay.
out of like an Eli Roth movie.
Yeah, like, picturing like Saddam Hussein's spider hole. Like,
yeah.
Right,
like,
right.
Fire a kid down in there and then jump in. And
so I want to get into, now let's get into the Clintons real quick.
Okay.
And the Clinton Foundation, okay? Have you ever heard of a woman named Laura Silsby?
Laura Silsby. No, I don't know that
okay,
name.
Laura Silsby. It's very interesting.
Okay.
During the Haiti earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, there's this whole controversy going on right now that basically Washington elites stole about $8 billion from the Haitian.
From the recovery there.
The recovery. And, you know, and which is hilarious that everybody got angry at him calling Trump calling it a shithole. Well,
right.
There's a reason that because most of the money that was meant to go there you never saw it
up.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
holy
so
shit, $8 billion?
Yeah, it's like a crazy number, right? Hold on, I just want to find this real quick because it's very interesting, dude.
And that stuff, and I always think about these situations. I never think that they're not possible. I just feel like, you know, the accusation of pedophile sticks for life, and so I'm always very hesitant to push it. But
right.
but then again, like you said earlier, it does happen.
It does,
and
happen.
If it does happen. Then obviously it's very important to stop it because of how damaging and evil and horrible it is.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like Washington D.C. has an epidemic of missing children, an epidemic. Like the numbers are like huge. It's humongous.
So what is the association? I just wonder, like, with power, whereas, like, is there that many people out in society who do want to just fucking do stuff to kids but can't because they're not powerful enough and don't get away with it? And so they're just some people are just waiting to get enough power to get in that opportunity. I just like.
Guesstimation of how many politicians are in Washington, D.C. I'm not trying to. What do you think the number is? Honestly,
thousands?
1,000?
Yeah.
2,000?
So it doesn't take that many.
That's not a lot of people, man.
Right.
If you really take a look at a running of a country of 350 million people and a Pentagon
right.
that has just for a second time been found the. You know, they can't find where $24 trillion has gone. You know, that's not a lot. To, you know, I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Technically, someone like Joe Rogan, whose podcast is huge,
right.
he could bribe 2,000 people. Like, at not that
right.
big of a number, but he
right.
could bribe.
Right. Right.
I mean,
right.
and that's,
right.
that's
right.
one dude with a podcast.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, just so much money. And
so
stuff
this
like
woman,
that.
Laura Silsby, right? She gets, basically what happened was, she gets, they discover her just grabbing kids off the streets. Like, literally, ones who weren't even orphans. Grabbing kids off the streets, and she's on a plane trying to take off with them. They in Haiti. They stop her, and they arrest her. Okay? Her lawyer in that case
right.
is a gentleman named Jorge Palalo Torres, who later on gets convicted as a sex trafficker.
He does get convicted as a sex trafficker.
Yes. He gets convicted as a sex
okay.
trafficker. Laura Silsby is not only... arrested, tried, she is convicted of this crime, okay? Another guy who just was part of this group that got arrested is a gentleman named Daniel John Pye, okay? He was one of the guys that was interviewed, like, oh, we're in
right.
the, we're just trying
right.
to help the kids, and we've, you know, and they're saying we're doing this evil stuff, and we're just Christians trying to help. Well, this motherfucker just got convicted in Miami of child molestation.
Oh, man.
So here's an interesting thing about Laura.
And these are all, and yeah. So she's connected.
She goes to jail. Do you
yeah.
know how she gets out?
No.
Bill Clinton flies in to and negotiates for her release.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So what? So what is her? Okay. Now is there? I just wonder. The usefulness of her to him outside of let's say okay yes there's a possibility that they're sharing secrets and they both are pedophiles, but outside of that, like, was she really good at something that like could make him money that he wanted her for that reason?
Well, she's out there with a group that's funded by the Clinton Foundation. If she gets convicted of child trafficking,
it taints the whole organization.
The whole organization.
So there's a possibility that he was, you know, doing something shitty still, you know, like letting a pedophile off to save face
yes.
for his organization.
Which is a theme that we've
also
seen
horrible. Also,
across
yes.
Michigan State,
yes.
Penn
yes.
State,
yes.
across all these
that
different...
That stuff I always have... I jump on that right away, where
right.
I'm like, oh yeah, oh, I make some... You know,
right.
it's when it goes to the next level of... Is it because he's also tied to it? Then I'm just like, well, hold on. Maybe, but, you know, we're like, let's really look at that. But yes, I mean, and that in and of itself is so shitty.
Right.
To especially as a parent.
Right.
To fucking let some predator back out on the streets so your name doesn't get dragged through the
100%,
mud. 100%,
dude.
That's fucking horrible.
And here's
yeah.
an interesting thing about Laura Silsby. Her name is no longer Laura Silsby. She is now, her name is Laura Gaylor,
mm-hmm.
and she now works at Amber Alert.
No way. That's what?
She lives in Idaho. Yep. She's your neighbor.
No way. Where in Idaho?
That doesn't say exactly.
She was part of the, like, she the group. She was the New Life Children's Refugees. And, yeah, part of the Clinton Foundation. And now she is working at Amber Alert.
Yeah, currently employed by a software company that basically works with the federal government on FEMA's Integrated Public Alert Warning System, which is part of Amber Alert. So she's right. now in charge of when kids
which
go missing.
Fucking terrifying.
She's going right. to help you find them.
Right. And if she finds them before you find them.
It's ridiculous. You couldn't write this type of thing. You'd be like, this is a really bad script. Let me see something else.
Yeah. This stuff, yeah, you know, it's, I think I always, it's harder to get my head around this stuff again because of how I'm wired.
Right.
Where I understand the desire for money and power. I fundamentally don't understand the obsession with molesting kids, where it's like,
I'm gonna get into that real quick. Can you put
why is that such a focus?
I want you to hear this. This is not the first time, you know, the Clintons have been accused of there you go. Sorry about that, Dan.
Oh, I'm a twitchy
person.
Here
we go. Let's see if we, I want to make sure we can hear this correctly. I gotta be honest with you, I'm not like, hold on, how do we do that? How do we make sure we hear? Where's the sound? Here we go. Let's hope. There we go. Uh-oh, it's going to be loud.
State Department.
That's right. According to internal State Department memos, the agency might have called off or intervened an investigation into...
Sure, if this... orders came...
You're killing me, dude. You're killing me, Smalls.
Chief White House correspondent.
Here we go, Juan.
Okay, okay.
Internal State Department memos, the agency might have called off or intervened an investigation into possibly illegal and inappropriate behavior within its ranks, allegedly to protect jobs and avoid scandals. This concerns the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. We want to get right to NBC's Chief White House correspondent Chuck Todd with the latest. Chuck, good morning to you.
Good morning, Savannah. You know, there's an old saying in Washington that the cover-up is worse than the crime. But in this case, both parts of it are disturbing. Allegations of prostitution and pedophilia, and allegations that those crimes were somehow covered up or not looked into. So the State Department this morning is having to respond to those claims and those investigations of misconduct by State Department officials, including by an ambassador and security agents attached to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And the allegations are that these investigations were whitewashed, quashed altogether, and that those orders came from high up.
I've seen this video before.
Crazy,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
NBC.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff, I'm very, I mean, it wouldn't take a lot to convince me of, you know, beyond that, of that being true, where it's like the cover-ups, for sure, to keep, like, to save face, to keep, because I feel like in those situations, don't people in power always rationalize it as for the greater good, where it's
right.
like, they're like take the Clinton Foundation. I'm sure there is this rightly or wrongly, this moral rationalization of, yes, but, you know, if we let this person get convicted and our name's associated, then it brings down our foundation and then we lose backing and then we can't do this. But,
right.
you know, if we just hide this person over here, I'm sure the Catholic Church did the same kind of thing, same kind of conversations. It's like, then we can save all these people, the Catholic Church, and then we can save all these souls.
100%.
You know, and it's like, but.
Do you ever hear the theory that confession is just to get information on people?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, huh?
That's what it totally
like
was.
You go and you confess your sins, and like right. by law they're not
right.
allowed to use that against
but they
you.
They track it. They file it away. They like have all these files on people and stuff like that, which would, I mean, come handy, I'm sure, when they're trying to get their tithes.
I mean, it's
it is sad that it's like the same story that just repeats, you know, throughout history, where it's like, you know, people climb and then, you know, like inevitably some bad things either do or happen around them and they start putting it under the rug. And then they, like, the more you do that, the more desensitized you get towards being able to do that. And it gets easier to hide bigger and worse crimes, you know? It's like, I think about, what's the Kevin Spacey before he finds,
yeah.
speaking of this, but what's the show, the political
the
show?
House of Cards.
You know, like how his character and stuff would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I even think about personal experience. When I was a kid, when I was 12 or 13, very anti, like, crime. I was like, what? How would somebody do that? Like, very goody-two-shoes.
Yeah.
I remember another kid stole something for a store, and I was repulsed. I was like, oh, my God. Cut to 2 years later, I was jacking everything.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I stole something, horrific guilt.
Yeah.
Guilt, so much guilt. Then the next time, a little bit better. Pretty soon, like, a year later, doesn't faze me one bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then now I would never do that. Now I would feel, again, the guilt and stuff. I pulled back. I thought about it. I was good at it, too.
I used to steal porno mags all the time.
Me too. Me too, because you couldn't buy them.
I would steal candy and porno mags, and I would either sell them
yeah.
or bribe guys that were bigger than me to fuck up dudes that were fucking with me.
Yeah, I remember I had a starter. My technique was the starter jacket. You know, the big poofy jacket. I was a tiny, skinny little kid, and I would just go in. You know, you would look at the magazines. Right. I would just dip it into the front of my jeans. Couple magazines, you know, drop the starter jacket back over it, and then just walk on out over and over and over.
The key is to act like you're not doing anything.
Yep.
That is the key to everything.
But think about, like, you know, you get, you know, it's easier and easier. Well, I imagine these people, as they're climbing to power, now it's gone way beyond shoplifting. You know, they cover up initially. Maybe, you know, somebody got a lesser, you know, like assault type thing. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's going to look bad. And then it's manslaughter. And then pretty soon you're just like, oh, no, you fucking murdered somebody? No, well, we can't have that. We can't let that get in. No. Just take him, send him to, you know, Maine or whatever and put him in a – we got a job for him there. And pretty soon you're just under this – I think it never hits them that they've become evil. That they've become, you know, just horrible, soulless people.
There's a certain type of person that tries to make it very far into politics in Washington, D.C.
Well, like you talked at the beginning, the psychopath personality thing.
Yeah, which for sure. So here's another thing. Have you heard of Operation Flicker?
No.
Basically, Operation Flicker was a giant sting that they did.
No.
At the – they found that at the Pentagon, like, everybody had kiddie porn on their computers. A 2006 what? Investigation reported that kiddie porn stated that defense workers who purchased kiddie porn put the Department of Defense, the military, at risk of compromised computer systems, military installations, and security clearance. I mean, like, it's at the highest level. And guess what? No one got convicted.
That bums me out.
And by more than 5,200 individuals.
Jesus.
Subscribe to these kiddie porn fucking websites.
That bums me out in two ways. A, it's disgusting, the whole pedophilia angle. And also, how are the highest members of the Pentagon not smart enough to figure out fucking Bitcoin and the dark web?
Nope.
Where it's like, if you really want to do illicit shit, you can't get the fucking Onion browser? You can't tour it up?
Well, there's a whole theory that the dark web is deep state set up for all that shit.
Oh.
So they could.
Well, it was developed by the Navy. I mean, that's not like disputed at all.
Right,
like,
right.
It was
right.
like, you know, military origins.
Yeah.
That'd be. Oh, man. That would be interesting.
I mean,
like,
dude,
like,
there's
that
so much.
That they're tracking
theories,
that stuff
dude.
All the time?
Yeah. I mean, they. I mean, like, dude, the CIA invested in Google. I mean, they own big chunks of Google,
right.
Big chunks of Facebook. I mean, like, 100%. Like, why do you think Snapchat, and I get shit on this, Google it? Why? They operate at a loss. They operate at a loss. Why'd Snapchat still going if it's operating at a loss? Oh, is its purpose not to make money but to get everybody's faces in the fucking face recognition fucking thing? As these girls do all these fucking, hi, I'm a dog, you know? I mean, like, it's real, dude. It's very interesting. So, I mean, like, at the highest levels, yet nobody's been convicted. So here's a big thing about, I mean, Bill Clinton. And it's like, it's very interesting that Hillary, through those emails, we found out that she basically set, she wanted the mass media to basically elevate three people on the Republican side for the presidential nomination. And they were Trump, Ricky Rubio, and Mark Rubio, and then Ben Carson, which is hilarious because Carson didn't even make it to the end. Like, how bad are you when the other side is setting you up to at least go pretty far and you can't even get past the first round?
Right.
But it's interesting that Trump is the one that they kind of picked because everything you can call Trump out on, you could either call Hillary or Bill Clinton on. And that's why nothing ends up sticking. Because at the end, you're like, yeah, and you were involved in that shit too.
Right,
which
right,
is the
right.
Lolita Express. I mean,
there is
27 different logs in the flight logs of Bill Clinton going to this island.
Right. No, but now I will say, yes, Trump went to the island, not as often.
Like once.
Yeah. But that guy also stayed at Mar-a-Lago. You know,
but then he got kicked out.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that, again,
right,
I'm not sitting here saying that Trump is an angel by any means.
No. But did Clinton, are all those logs are pre-trial for that guy, right?
Right.
Getting caught.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't go there if he's already been convicted of pedophilia.
No. Yeah. God, I mean, I always just think like, because I know he was having underage masseuses flown in. And then
there's an old saying in AA: if you go to a barbershop enough times, you're gonna get a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're going to a place called Lolita Island, you know, are you gonna go?
Well, in
Orgy
Orgy Island on the Lolita Express. I mean, it's like we have a guy who's had a history of sexual assaults,
right,
being on a plane that's been named Lolita Express.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's just.
And Bill Clinton, I will say, I would not be – if something came out that, like, Hillary was helping, like, a sex trafficking ring of, like, small children, I would be shocked. I would be shocked about that. If it came out that Bill Clinton was getting hand jobs from 16-year-old masseuses, I would be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, which is not good. It's not good.
Right.
It's not
100%.
As there's, again, there's a sliding scale of, like, what's worse. But, I mean, that is still really gross.
Right.
Really terrible.
Right. 100%.
These guys, man, I just – man, so it is interesting to me. Throughout human history, how many people just follow their dick into failure and to just horrible life situation where it's like – all it's like you get to this level where it's like, dude, all you have to do, just don't fuck kids.
Yeah.
Just don't, you know, fuck whatever, you know, like go to orgies behind your wife's back. What? Just don't do that. Enjoy opulent wealth. Enjoy living a lifestyle that only that, you know, 99.9% of the world will only dream of.
Right.
Just don't put your dick in the wrong place. And it's amazing how many people can't do it.
And here's a big thing with that. I think you got to look at it a little different. I think what you have to understand is like if there's a. It's kind of like, why do gang members, like I had a friend of mine just get stabbed in San Diego as part of a gang initiative. The guy, luckily, my friend luckily survived, you know, but like this dude just came up and flank and just fucking ran off as this gang initiation thing. But why do they do that? Why do they have you? Why you want to be on team fucking tinfoil hat?
They want dirt on you. They want dirt on you.
So if you go in trouble, they got dirt on you too.
And you think that's part of the pedophile
that's
stuff is they want the dirt.
That's 100% what it's all about, dude. Last year, 2017, 11 mayors in the United States had been busted for either child trafficking or child sex. There's a, you know, it's at the highest dude. And it's like, you're like, well, I mean, like, how do they know? I mean, there's guys out there whose job it is to tell you who's the best third grade basketball player in the country. How many third graders are there? How many third grade basketball players? He knows which one's the best. Dude, these guys, they know every, they watch.
Yeah.
They watch. And they,
that's an interesting, I've never heard that angle. That's very interesting of like the indoctrination of like upper echelon where it's like to get dirt. I mean,
and again,
I don't want to believe it just because it's so horrible, but I can't get rid of the logic now. Where it's like, I'm like, okay, there is a logic to that. Where it's like, if you want somebody to really keep your secrets, you know, what could be like the worst dirt you could have on somebody? If you could have some record of them fucking a kid, they're going to keep their mouth shut.
100%.
You know, when
dude.
Something comes up later, it's like, oh man, that's so evil though.
So, like we said, and like I believe at almost every level of.
Yeah.
At every level of Anglo-Saxon white Christian countries, there's been some sort of pedophile ring, whether it's in the church or in the government, okay?
Right.
So, I mean, we had a guy named Mickey Ward on, Mike Ward, excuse me, not the boxer, but the Canadian guy who got sued by the Canadian government for doing a joke about a kid in the Make-A-Wish.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, he went in front of this board. One of the guys on the board got convicted of sex with a five-year-old and then did no time. The judge let him off. You know, and you're like, what is going on? Why is this happening?
That judge is in on something too. It looks that way. Yeah, it's possible.
And you're like, hey, dude. You're like, come on, it's that big? It's like, dude, this is a long game, man. This isn't like a 2-week game. This isn't like a 3-month game or 5. This has been in the works for a long, long time, man. You know, and
damn it, Tripoli, you're in my head right now.
Every level, dude. Every level. Of that is the equal to the DNC has been involved in some sort of scandal, including the Republican National Committee or party, and that is the Franklin Child Prostitution Ring. Okay, this is
was that the Franklin Bank? Was that that thing?
No, basically, it happened in Omaha, Nebraska, Boys Town, right? And that's what we're finding out. It's like a lot of these you know, these. We're going to watch out for the kids. They've actually like dark things.
Well, and I think there's a, to play in that situation as well. It's like it reminds me of like I did social work very briefly out of college, and I remember I'll never forget this one guy when I started. He goes, "There's two kind of people that go into this line of work. There's people who want to help others, and there's people trying to fix themselves." Mm-hmm. And I think about that with like when you're working with youth, there are people who want to, you know, protect the kids and do right and that for sure. But then there's also people drawn to that profession who want to be put in a place of power above kids so they can do horrible, horrible
shit. Well, 100%. And yeah. Hey, listen, dude, I one time my friend was working with this organization and it was like Christmas. And she's like, "Hey, would you want to be a Santa?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do that for you guys." And then they're like, it's really hard to get anybody in as Santa because there's so many fucking creeps that try to fucking do it.
Oh, I bet.
You
I
know?
Bet.
And it's like,
You can't show up to that audition with like an obvious boner.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, "Hey, sweat why pants. Am I rock sweat hard pants. Here?" So at the center of this Franklin scandal is a guy named Lawrence E. King Jr., a fast rising Republican, black Republican.
Yeah.
Was working with Boys Town in basically setting up this place for disadvantaged youth to come and hang out. And we had a guest on, what was his name? Petrioni, the guy.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Buccioni.
Buccioni, who basically was involved as a child in with this.
Wow, he was there.
Like, he was there, and he knew. They called him Black Larry was the guy's nickname, Black Larry. And he says he was basically there when he got phone calls from Ronald Reagan and George Bush. There's a famous, basically it came out in the New York Times that during George Bush's presidency, they had underage boy hookers. They were giving tours of the White House.
Oh, my God.
This guy was convicted, this Larry guy. Guess how much time he did? Like, nothing.
Okay, so let's just for a random hypothetical.
Okay.
Let's say that all of this is true. That all of this is happening and it has been happening for a long, long time.
Okay.
How do you have – is there any hope that we could ever stop it then? Honestly, is the system – capable of being brought down? Because that's what makes me kind of like just get to this depressed place in my head where it's like, let's say all this shit is for sure happening and there is this, you know, version of the Illuminati kind of thing that's out there, you know, not in like the cartoonish sense, but in the sense of people in power wanting to keep power and a long lineage of this person has dirt on this person that gives dirt on the next and so on and so forth. How do you ever break that up? Like could an outsider
shine light? That's like, I think the whole thing, and that's always been my whole thing is like, okay, if it's not real, just investigate it. Prove it to me it's not real. That's
right.
All I got to say.
Where's the harm in investigating?
But I mean, like, have you – I want to Google something. Do you remember that – can you Google L.A. L.A. Sheriff badge? Do you remember the symbol I showed you?
Yeah, the kid thing. The triangle with the – wrapping
Google
it on itself.
This would be the one that we're doing on there.
Can you Google it while I talk real quick? Right now there is word in the chat boards of where I like to go and just see what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't hook, line, and sinker everything.
Right,
and if I put out something that's wrong, I take it down and I retract it. I'm not afraid.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at it right here. No. Yeah, very interesting, right? Look what's on the sheriff's. This thing is just, it's taking forever.
Yeah, what was that? Like, I can kind of, like, I see the thing on the bottom. Oh, I see.
Go down. Basically, on every, I don't know what you call those.
Yeah, I see.
What is the
That is weird. I mean, can...
They're all boy symbols in there.
Does that mean anything else? I mean, I just don't know. I mean, does that, like, because why would you...
I mean, it's exactly the same.
It is exactly the same. It is exactly the same, but it's like, could it have a double... Mm-hmm. I think of, like, the Illuminati eye, like on Ryan's shirt, which I like that symbol as well. The eye of Providence.
Eye
of Providence, exactly. The divine knowledge. But other people have attached different meanings to that.
Correct.
You know, it's like, is this an example of that? Does that have any other origin, that symbol? I don't know.
Not that I know of yet. But
why would you put that on your badge?
Yeah, why would you put that on your badge, man? Why is it still on the badge? I mean, okay, let's say you put that out on accident, right? You did it. And, like, sometimes people fuck up.
Right.
Why is it still there? Why is it still there? Now, the rumor coming out right now is the big thing is that the – do you ever hear about Anthony Weiner's his laptop?
Oh, about all the stuff they found on it?
Yes, how it never got released. And the guy that is retiring right now, the LAPD, what's the head cop called?
Well, they probably never wanted to... Sorry.
He goes, what I saw in there made me cry.
Tanaka? But is that the...
What is it called? The police chief. The police chief. Basically, the New York... police chief said, what I saw on this guy's computer made me cry. He goes, if it doesn't get put out, I'm going to do it myself. We've already copied everything on it and sent to different places. So, and guess what that happened to that computer? It disappeared. It's gone.
Right, right.
But right now, there's talk that a video is coming out of some dark shit with Hillary on it. Now, I'm only put that out because that is what I'm hearing a lot of.
Right.
That this video is about to drop. And
that's the kind of stuff I always wait for because, you know, it's like there's all these – no matter how organized you are, no matter like the upper echelon or whatever like that, human nature, it's like you're still a human being doing these horrible things. And in the media age we live in, you know, if these things are going on, there are going to be more like legitimate leaks coming out because people make mistakes.
Well, also there's people who have souls.
Right.
And at some point they realize
they will rat it out.
They're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
And they can't.
They can't take it.
They
anymore.
Can't take it. Yeah. And they do it anonymously.
Can you imagine how mind-blowing that would be? I'm just like just hypothetical. And you could replace Hillary with Trump or whoever else. But like if a legit video surfaced, like undeniable of them engaging in some horrific act, some like of, you know, pedophilia or the equivalent kind of level of debauchery, just what that would – oh, man, what a game changer that would be as far as, you know,
that's why Ray Rice
eyes.
Isn't in the NFL because there's a video of him punching a chick.
Yes, yes, that very true, very true. It's like, you know, when there's – other people have done similar things, worse things, but there's not actual video where the public has seen, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Uh-uh. That's the whole thing. So that's the rumor out there.
Man, that's a lot. Man, I like the info you got, man.
I love it, dude. And listen, man, I don't take pride in any of this. It does not excite me to talk about this.
But if it is happening, you want people to know about it.
Yes. And, you know, we're on All Things Comedy, and there's always this, like, we got to keep the comedy portion of it. But I also believe that, you know, it's like children are getting hurt, man.
Right.
You know, and people who've lectured me, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm talking about in just the backlash I kind of got in this Florida shooting, you know, from multiple people.
Right.
And their hearts are in the right place when they're like, hey, man, these are high school kids who went through trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are people who tell me I'm being wrong. These are the same people who call me a crazy person for going, there's something going on, man. There should be an investigation.
Right.
And they don't want to believe it. It's just such weird ways we compartmentalize shit.
And I'm reticent. You know, I'm more reticent than you to believe these things, but I don't get butthurt when they're thoroughly investigated.
Yes.
Because that's just a bad precedent. It's like all this stuff should be looked into thoroughly, and we should be able to talk about it thoroughly all the time. It's like that's what I don't understand. When people immediately like, oh, just stop it. Just like they just fucking don't say that. Don't say it. It's like, yeah. What are you doing?
Why?
What are you scared? What are you scared of finding out?
What are you afraid of, man?
Yeah, worst case scenario, you're just proven more right.
And what I find in reality
is not worst case, but
I find that people are so afraid they're getting lied to.
Oh, yes.
And they get so angry.
Yes.
They'd rather trust somebody they'd never met in their life that they see on the television. Yep. And believe they're telling the truth, then somebody they know in real life who's never fucked them out of anything in their life, treat them like gold, and has a different going, hey, man, you're getting lied to. They don't want to.
Well, that's like with certain you know, more cultish kind of religions when people, like I've done numerous of those topics, and you know, people always say like, well, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just go? And it's like, no, really think about that. Think about what it would take to accept that all of this was wrong and horrible.
Yeah.
You don't get to see your parents again. You don't get to see your best friends again. Yep. People are so invested in their lives. And it's the same with this kind of stuff. If your family, if your parents are diehard left or right, either way, and that's their identity, and then you learn some stuff that if it is true or you become aware of some stuff that if you were to believe it would put you at odds with your family's core belief system.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just frankly too weak to push past that.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. You know, it's like they're just like, it's not worth the risk. So they shut down and they just fucking tell you to like, no, dude, don't talk about that. Yep. Come on, stop saying that because you're going to fuck up my whole world.
Yeah. And it's better just to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine who said that, dude, like not particularly about this subject, but just the state of the like the things that are going on that our government is doing. And they're like, I'm going to make my money and I'm not going to pay attention. I go, well, you know what? That's probably very similar to what people were saying in Nazi Germany. And, when we're entering if it goes the way, the most amazing thing is like this North Korea thing where the leader's like, I want to talk. Can we talk? Like, I'll give up weapons. And people are like,
Bomb him!
They're going to be like, oh, he's just giving in to this guy. And it's just like, dude, you're the liberals, man. You're supposed to be the anti-fucking war. I'm anti-war, man. I'm tired of fighting for bankers, man.
Yes.
And like, dude, where are you? Why are you complicit in this? How much is that paycheck? Is your family going to be like, anytime I hear people talk about bombing people, I'm like, I hope it's you and your family's on the front fucking line. And the first drop of blood is fucking yours because you're sending these kids in the fight for fucking bankers who wouldn't pee on you if you were on fucking fire.
Right.
Here's a good quote. The battle line between good and evil runs through the heart of every man. Alexander Stolzlin. He was like the socialist philosopher. So, I mean, what we could pull away with today is, we can't even comprehend doing these evil atrocities, you know, but where there's smoke,
there's probably every level of that is similar to this.
And there is historical precedence, you know, it's like, God, the more I've done like deeper episodes into the history. I mean, you do see these things that were people denied during the time at that age. But then in history reveals that like there was crazy shit going on over and over and over again. I mean,
what is this? This thing just popped. No, look at this. At the bottom there. At the bottom. What the fuck is that? Yeah. I've never seen that before. This comment just comes out of nowhere. Poor Sam. He's in the slow lane. Where does that come from? Is this AI just fucking with me right now?
It's Alexa.
I've never seen that before in my fucking life.
It's Alexa. Agent Smith. Well, shit. I know you got to go battle traffic.
Yeah, Dan, you're a wonderful person.
You too,
I root for you.
Me too.
Whatever that means, I think you're a great person. I'm super happy for your success.
Thanks, man. Likewise.
Sorry I yelled at you for a fucking hour.
No, it was fantastic, man. I love the intensity and I love the perspective. And Ryan, man, good to see you as well, man. Thanks, your guys' show. I love it's, you know, trying to open people's eyes to new perspectives, and that's so fucking important.
At the end of the day, we all just want love, Doc. That's really all it is.
And where can everyone find you? Because I'm a big fan of Time Suck, and shit, I love that you guys got a cult building.
I think it's great, dude.
Yeah, you can find me at pizzagate.org. You can find me at timesuckpodcast.com. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else. And then, you know, there's actually a Time Suck app now. And we Aleister Crowley's today's episode. And Monday's episode is the Bielski Brothers, an inspiring story of fighting Nazis.
Let me ask you something. Does it make you more sad about the world, or do you just feel like there's hope? Like,
you know what? I mean,
educating people.
You know, because for every story of the horrible stuff, you know, and the villains we talk about, there's also the story like the Bielski brothers coming up. There's stories of people who are just like, fuck those guys, man. I'm gonna fight and I'm gonna do whatever it takes. And that just and even just, you know, outside of the stories, meeting the people I've met just through the podcast. There's so many beautiful people out there doing so many amazing, inspiring things that, it gives me a lot of hope, actually.
It gives me so much.
So many creative people listen to your podcast. So many creative people listen to us. We appreciate you guys, man.
For sure.
Keep
so
on
much.
Sending everything. I mean, you guys make artwork for us.
That painting is unbelievable. That is so good.
All right, guys.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. Thanks for coming on. Keep kicking ass. Time Suck is the shit. And well, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Yep. Like everyone's like, can you put this many people in here? It's like